You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. The London Bridge attack has again put the spotlight on tech companies and their encrypted services. The Prime Minister has said big companies that provide internet-based services provide a safe space for extremist ideology to thrive. The Culture Secretary told this programme yesterday that the tech industry needs to help the government find and stop radicalisation via their products. Well, Jennifer Alcouri is co-founder of Hacker House, which is a cybersecurity service. She's in our radio car in Manchester. And Rohan Silva is co-founder of Second Home, a workspace for entrepreneurs and startups in London. He was a senior policy advisor to David Cameron when he was Prime Minister. Good morning.
Morning.
Rohan Silva, is there a way for the security services and only the security services to bypass encrypted messaging?
Not right now. And only that could only happen, really, with the engagements of the tech industry, which isn't really happening at the moment. I mean, it's worth sort of saying that, you know, for the tech companies, the sort of hard encryption that they're using in their messaging apps isn't something that they started their companies using. It was only introduced in 2014 in response to customer concerns following Edward Snowden's revelations about mass data collection by the US government. So this really is principally about profits, about worries about customers switching elsewhere. And, you know, what I think is a real shame is that you're not seeing the Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, or the founders of Google flying in and really engaging. The British government is still principally having to deal with public policy people here in the UK who are a long way from.
But you believe if they thought hard enough about it, or if they were willing to think about it, there is a way to, you know, allow people to use encrypted messaging, but for the security services to be able to bypass it when they need to.
I think absolutely. You know, to coin a phrase from the chief operating officer of Facebook, if the tech industry lean in, absolutely. Politicians generally aren't very good at technology. To be fair to the Home Secretary, the government has actually come forward with, you know, very reasonable proposals that would mean that for up to 6,500 suspected radicals or extremists, real-time monitoring of communication would be allowed. And so having a sort of a different approach for those people on a watch list, I think is something that is proportionate, is reasonable. Okay.
Jennifer Alcouri, is what Rohan Silva advocating possible?
With all respect to Rohan, I completely disagree. The government has capability to hack phones at any given point at this time. It's not about not being able to access these devices. It's merely just technical skill, which they do have. And it is completely possible to be able to monitor and surveil people as is now under the Investigatory Powers Act. You have a process of due diligence, which has allowed that to happen with a warrant. What's going to happen with, you know, banning encryption or getting rid of encryption? You just make the floodgates open. I mean, you allow one backdoor for government. You have no idea to who else is listening or who else can access that back door, which is ultimately the biggest problem.
Right, but there are very there are very clever people in Silicon Valley. Is it really not possible to close off that back door?
Well, the point is that if you have one back door, anybody can access that. So it's not just government. You have no way of curtailing which bad guys could have access to it. And right now, you can absolutely hack someone else's phone if you needed to get in. There's ways of surveilling them and you know, running, technology that can infiltrate their communication. This is not about trying to, you know, like banning encryption would do far more damage than it would do good.
I don't think anyone sensible is talking about banning encryption, but there's a reason that ISIS tell potential extra terrorists to use WhatsApp and other encrypted apps. And there's a reason that the Paris attacks in November 2015, the Stockholm attacks, the terrorists, as far as we can tell, were using these kind of encrypted services. Because if you're using them, this kind of hard encryption, end-to-end encryption, means that even if you've hacked into someone's, tried to hack into someone's device, you can't tell what's going on within those apps. It really is a safe haven for terrorism. And it's an unintended consequence of the tech company's very legitimate response to customer worries.
Jen Falker, is that not the case with WhatsApp and indeed with Telegram?
If it wasn't WhatsApp and Telegram, it would be something else they created. I mean, at the end of the day, look at these terrorist attacks. You know, it was the van responsible, the knives, you know, did encryption stop the van or the knives or the stabbing? No. You know, this isn't about trying to stop WhatsApp and Telegram. This is, you know, creating blanket, you know, getting rid of all of this creates a much bigger problem around judicial process.
I would ask you in practical terms what you envisage. You're not suggesting banning encryption,
absolutely,
is that right?
Not,
you're not suggesting that you cannot download a WhatsApp or Telegram in this country.
No, and look, I think often people conflate the idea that there ought to be a proportionate way in which a small group of extremists could be monitored in, say, real time, in exactly the way with a kind of judge oversight that, you know, phones have been tapped for many decades if there's a real and present threat. And neither am I talking, and is anyone talking about doing anything about the encryption that's integral to the financial services system, the payments we make to one another on our phones, etc. It's very important that encryption remains intact.
Jennifer, could you just not answer that point about whether that sort of real time monitoring, you know, perhaps thousands of people in this country, but is that possible?
Well, we could have started with looking at the guy that ran the recent attack in Manchester. I mean, the community reported him several times to MI5 and police.
That's a different point. I'm just asking you on the tech side of things to respond to what Rohan's suggesting.
I'm sorry.
He's made a specific point about advocating monitoring, real-time monitoring of the encrypted messaging of people, perhaps as many as 6,000 who are on a government watch list.
Well, the argument, again, would go back to increasing intelligence services. And then you say, well, we don't have the budget for that. The budget that would be involved with what Rohan is talking about, which would be severe packet inspection, this great British firewall, all of that. I mean, government's not going to foot the bill for that. And so industry is going to have to do so. And I think that is far more detrimental than what...
Well, certainly to their profits.
You know, just increasing services. Yeah.
Look, I think, frankly, industry should pay for this. You know, the tech companies, it really is about profit, not principle. This, as I say, is not how Google, Apple, WhatsApp designed their messaging services in the first place. This was only added in 2014. And, you know, there really is a way forward if these tech industries engage.
Rohan Silver and Jennifer Al-Khoury, thank you both.
Hello, I'm Luke Jones.
I'm Eddie Mayer. We thought we'd give you a flavour of what you can find over on the IPM podcast.
As a parent myself, any parent knows that in a way you will give up your life. You will give up your hopes and aspirations, but you will not give up those for your children.
Being sort of a very romantic type, I think that the age difference helped in that, from my point of view.
She was, by this time in the afternoon, pouring with sweat, just desperate, desperate. And that's how we ended up. In the middle of a local town, with me handing over my hard-earned money to buy drugs.
So he ran away to school in Darjeeling, and then when war broke out, he joined when he reached 18.
What about it was false?
All of it.
The sounds from a working flat were coming up from below. As she pointed out, she said, it does rather stop the conversation.
Those are all IPM listeners. All our stories start with listeners who get in touch.
Search for IPM wherever you get your podcasts from and subscribe for free so you never miss an episode.